A federal investigator says heads need to roll at the FAA. Virgin America gets its operating certificate. And AOPA protests the latest PR blast from the airlines. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, July 13th, 2007. The FAA gets lots of criticism these days. Most of it comes from individuals and organizations with obvious axes to grind. But this week, a federal investigator criticized the FAA and the National Air Traffic Controllers Association for a cavalier attitude about safety and a culture of laxness. In a Thursday interview with the Associated Press, Special Counsel Scott Block said that a 2005 investigation found controllers at Dallas-Fort Worth were covering up their own mistakes and sometimes shifting the blame to pilots. 2 years later, he says, the problems remain unsolved. Block says he reached his conclusions after talking with two whistleblowers and reviewing radar data. He blamed the FAA in part for offering rewards to controllers with the fewest errors, which provides an incentive not to report mistakes, and said the agency itself whitewashed its safety record. Those allegations come just days after reports that the FAA wants to change the definition of what constitutes a high-risk mid-air loss of separation in a way that would result in a dramatic drop of reported near misses and reduce the number of incidents for which controllers would face disciplinary action. That proposal brought criticism even from NATCA. The FAA issued a statement claiming it thoroughly investigates every safety deviation, whether controller or pilot error. But Block says, bluntly, quote, heads need to roll here, unquote. Virgin America had to jump through some serious hoops to satisfy the FAA, including major changes in its financing structure and the replacement of its CEO, but it all paid off on Wednesday. The FAA has issued Virgin America an operating license, and the airline says it will start service next month from San Francisco. Other U.S. carriers had fought to deny their new competitor FAA approval, saying the changes proposed would still leave too much foreign control. The recent turnaround in the domestic airline industry has been driven, at least in part, by a reduction in available seats by existing airlines, allowing them to fly with fuller planes. Virgin America plans to fly Airbus A319s and A320s from its base in San Francisco. The first flights will be to JFK in New York, with expansion to include Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., San Diego, and Las Vegas within a year. The company hopes to differentiate itself from competitors with more comfortable leather seats and mood lighting, what it calls the industry's most sophisticated in-flight entertainment system, and other touches to make flying more fun. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association is fighting back against what it calls a misdirection campaign by the airline industry. As Aero News reported on July 3rd, the Air Transport Association asked the FAA to impose mandatory ground delays on aircraft waiting to take off from general aviation airports in the New York metro anytime airliners are hit with those delays at JFK, LaGuardia, or Newark Liberty. The reasoning goes that if the tactic is intended to ease congestion, and business jets are 30% of traffic in the area, they should share the pain. AOPA's Phil Boyer says the only problem with that scenario is it already happens. When regional weather is bad, corporate aircraft flying out of Teterboro and other airports are subject to the same ground delays and ground stops as the airlines. They have been for years. Quote, corporate aircraft utilizing the area's satellite airports are routed under or around the paths flown by the airlines, and when that won't work, they sit on the ground too, unquote. The ATA tactic is consistent with a TV ad campaign run in airports recently, in which ATA implied that airliners are delayed because business jets are getting preferential treatment from air traffic control. Those ads were widely criticized as misleading. Diamond Aircraft says it has made the first test flight of an experimental DA-40 equipped with a new technology turbodiesel. The company says the engine is rated at 170 horsepower and demonstrated both high performance and excellent fuel economy. Partnering in the development is Mercedes-Benz Technology. Diamond says MB Tech's new combustion technology allowed the engine to cut fuel consumption 20% compared to comparable engines, making the Jet A-capable engine an attractive option for unmanned aerial vehicle applications. There was no indication on when the new engine might become an option on Diamond Aircraft. Up next on ANN, investigators are learning more about Monday's tragedy in Sanford, Florida. an American Airlines flight attendant makes a big mistake leaving LAX. And if you want to run, you got to fly. You're listening to Aero News.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 400 is a fire-breathing turbocharged four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises 235 knots with a next-generation Avidyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. As high as flight level 250, way above most weather, and a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 400 is the kind of plane you deserve, whether you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or the turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144. Check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 13th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. As investigators start to piece together the wreckage of a Cessna 310 that crashed in a Sanford, Florida neighborhood Monday, they're already discovering a few clues about the last few minutes of that ill-fated flight. FAA records show that radar picked up the plane about a minute after it departed Daytona Beach International at about 8:23 a.m. on Monday. About 9 minutes later, the plane was at 6,000 feet when the pilot reported smoke in the cockpit and declared an emergency. He was cleared direct to Sanford International. But investigators tell the Orlando Sentinel that neither the plane's flaps nor gear were extended, implying that the pilot did not, as previously theorized, intend to make an emergency landing in a field near the homes which were struck in the crash. All major components of the aircraft are reported to have been located, but so far there's no indication of the source of the smoke reported by the pilot. Two adults on board the aircraft and two adults and a child on the ground were killed. A preliminary report is expected from the National Transportation Safety Board in about 2 weeks, and a finding of cause in about a year. A crew member on an American Airlines flight from Los Angeles to London thought she'd seen one of her passengers, described as a man of Middle Eastern descent, bypass security at LAX by riding an employee shuttle into the airport. She questioned him about it during the flight, and apparently wasn't happy with his answers. The next thing everybody knew, the pilot had announced a diversion to JFK, claiming the plane lacked sufficient fuel to reach London. When it landed, security agents boarded and took the suspicious man away for questioning. The remaining 217 passengers were all deplaned, so a security sweep could be conducted on the airliner. Oops! It turns out that not only did the suspicious man go through security, but he's a U.S. citizen, born in the U.S., and was an American Airlines Executive Platinum customer. Emphasis on was. Tell me again why it is business travelers are buying their own jets. Airline travel is tough for business travelers, but also for political candidates. GOP presidential hopeful Tom Tancredo told USA Today, quote, "Oh boy, I'd love a plane," unquote. Tancredo, like many lesser-known and more lightly funded candidates, doesn't have personal or corporate jets offered him for traveling to campaign appearances. And with early primaries scheduled in states like New Hampshire and Iowa, where there are no major airline hubs, commercial flights are especially bad at getting candidates to speeches and fundraisers on time. Perhaps the next president of the United States will be someone who's thankful to General Aviation for making the win possible. Hey, it could happen. The FAA will investigate a runway incursion by a United Airlines jet that forced an arriving Delta airliner to abort its landing and execute a go-around at Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International Airport on Thursday. The Bradenton Herald quoted federal authorities in reporting that the planes came within 100 feet of each other. What is known is that Delta Flight 1489 was on final when controllers noted United 1544 was heading onto the runway. A controller quickly alerted the Delta captain to go around. It was determined that the United pilot did not turn off onto a taxiway as instructed. Of the three runway incursion incidents reported at Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International for the year ending May 31st, two were blamed on pilot error and one on a controller. Still ahead, UAVs take to the air over North Dakota. Airbus bids adieu to the A300, and more bad manners by flight attendants. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
Hey, if you're into airplanes the way I am, you have got to see this new TV show. I'm Tom Gresham, and I'm the host of Wings to Adventure Television. It's on the Outdoor Channel, and we shoot it all in high definition. Listen, we go to great fly-in destinations. We show wonderful airplanes, whether it's the latest glass panel composite speedster or a really cool old antique cloth-covered deal. I mean, it doesn't matter. We're into airplanes the same way that you are. It's called Wings to Adventure. It's on the Outdoor Channel. Check it out at wingstoadventure.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday the 13th of July, 2007. I'm Paul Plagg. Raytheon's Cobra unmanned aircraft system conducted the first official unmanned aircraft flight over North Dakota on June 25th. The Cobra flew approved flight profiles through military-restricted airspace over Camp Grafton South, a National Guard training facility 45 miles south of Devil's Lake. In addition to being the first unmanned aircraft to fly in North Dakota airspace, these were also the Cobra's first flights away from their home station in Tucson, Arizona. During the three-day deployment to the site, the Cobras completed 9 flights and executed completely autonomous takeoffs, landings, and in-flight navigation along pre-planned routes. The flights were part of Raytheon's collaboration with the University of North Dakota, John D. Odegaard School of Aerospace Sciences, the University of North Dakota School of Engineering and Mines, and the North Dakota National Guard. In one of the planned missions from the Camp Grafton South Airfield, a Cobra UAS carried the Precision Ag digital imaging payload developed by the University of North Dakota Unmanned Aircraft Engineering Team. The Precision Ag system takes digital images of crops and rangeland for monitoring vegetation health for North Dakota agribusiness applications. The aircraft has a wingspan of 10 feet and is about 9 feet long. As ANN reported, the 119th Wing of the North Dakota Air National Guard was flying its first unmanned aerial vehicle mission from Fargo at about the same time. The 119th Wing transitioned from flying F-16A Fighting Falcons to new missions involving Predator UAVs and the C-21A Learjet cargo aircraft. That transition was made in January. The last Airbus A300 has rolled off the assembly line. It was a freighter, and it's headed for FedEx. In announcing the end of production for the A300 family, Airbus and FedEx put any hard feelings aside to speak in glowing terms about each other. Back in November of 06, when the Airbus A380 Super Jumbo was delayed for the second time, FedEx was on the waiting list for the freighter version and became the first freighter customer to bail. As ANN reported on November 7th last year, the loss of that 10-plane order set the stage for Airbus's eventual cancellation of development of the freighter. But on Thursday, FedEx Senior VP for Operations Jim Parker said of the A300, quote, "They have given us a great return on investment and proven to be reliable, all of which increases our ability to serve our customers. We look forward to continuing our long-standing and important relationship with Airbus," unquote. In return, Charles Champion, Airbus Executive VP for Customer Service, said of FedEx, quote, "We are proud to be handing over this last A300 to such a longtime customer and partner, as FedEx is a true reference in the air cargo market. The global Airbus team will ensure continued long-term support for this great aircraft, which will see reliable service for many, many years, as we further develop our excellent relations with FedEx, unquote. Airbus says the A300 was the first wide-body twin-engine jet, entering service with Air France in 1974. In 1983, the A310 entered service, sporting a two-man glass cockpit. The company reports combined total production of 821 planes, more than 630 still in service, and half the fleet destined to serve to 2025 or beyond. ExpressJet has issued a terse statement saying it will investigate an incident involving one of its flight attendants and a mother with a 19-month-old boy. Kate Penland, who lives in suburban Gwinnett County, northeast of Atlanta, said she and her son Garen were on the plane last month when Garen kept repeating, "Bye-bye, plane." She told WSB television that the attendant leaned over and said, quote, "It's not funny anymore. You need to shut your baby up. You know, it's called baby Benadryl," unquote. Penland says she told the attendant she would not be drugging her son, and when other passengers spoke up on her behalf, the flight attendant announced she and her son would be taken off the plane. The young mother said she later learned the flight attendant told the pilot that Penland had threatened her. Penland said that never happened, and a fellow passenger corroborated her story to WSB. It had been a tough day for everybody. The incident happened near the end of an 11-hour delay in Houston on a flight from Atlanta to Oklahoma. Airline officials say only that they've received Kate Penland's letter and will investigate. And finally, it's rare for any news story mentioning airliner bathrooms to be good news, but this one is. At the request of Japanese customers, Boeing has worked with plumbing fixture manufacturer Toto to develop the first practical bidet for airliners. 2/3 of Japanese households have bidet-style toilets. All Nippon Airways, the first customer in line for the 787 Dreamliner, and Japan Airlines, between them have a total of 85 Dreamliners on order and want their passengers to feel, well, at home. The Wall Street Journal reports that the two big design challenges for engineers were, first, durability, and second, coming up with an instruction placard that could be understood by people who've never used a bidet. The new instructions can be read by a passenger while seated and depict the direction of the water jets depending on which buttons are pressed. Hiroyuki Ito, ANA's executive VP in charge of maintenance and operations, tells the journal, quote, "It's very accurate," unquote. But wait a minute, won't bidets increase the chance that the floor in the bathroom will be wet when the next passenger gets there? Nope. It's been designed so the sprayers only work when somebody's sitting on the seat. Now, I could be wrong, but I'm guessing that the admissions counselors at Wichita State's College of Engineering won't be using this story as an example of the exciting work that awaits future graduates of their aerospace program. Call it a hunch. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Cessna just announced its LSA program is a go. Today, we'll hear what Cessna CEO Jack Pelton had to say about the plane when it debuted at Oshkosh last year. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. You can find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Avoid black cats, stay out from under ladders, and have a clear and unlimited day.